Isaiah 45 is all about what could have happened because of the declaration of Cyrus, the decree of Cyrus that the Jews in exile could return. And they could have restored the temple, they could have restored God's kingdom. But that didn't happen, despite that amazing movement of Cyrus to give the Jews all they wanted, all the resources, the money, the encouragement to return to Zion and rebuild the temple. Most of them preferred to stay in Persia. It was tragic. And yet God's purpose still worked out, because these prophecies of restoration are then reapplied to the Lord Jesus and to the calling out of people like us out of Babylon, out of the Gentile world, which we are to leave, and likewise go and restore God's kingdom. And I want to focus on verse 23 to the end. I've sworn by myself that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath or confess. So the idea was that the Jews who returned should have entered into covenant with God, bowed before him, recognizing and confessing their sins, and then been restored into his kingdom. That didn't happen because they didn't repent, and most of them didn't even return. And yet these words then are applied to us, to we who have left Babylon. I want to see how these words are quoted in the New Testament. Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. They're quoted, first of all, in Romans 14, where Paul is talking there about don't set at nothing your brother, Romans 14, verse 10, because we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God, or we shall literally be stood up before the judgment seat of God, as it is written, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. And he quotes there from Isaiah 45. So he's saying, don't judge your brother. Don't put your brother down, because we shall all be made to stand before the judgment seat of God after having first of all bowed down. So he's giving us a picture of the final judgment. And he says, don't judge others, don't put others down, because at the day of final judgment, you are going to bow the knee before God, before his Son, when you come to face him and realize your own sinfulness and the height of his exaltation. But you will be made to stand. You will be made to stand up. Each one of us, Paul says, shall give account of himself to God. Don't make other people therefore stumble, but rather put yourself down. So then, let us not pass judgment, he says, on one another any longer, because we know that I shall come before the day of judgment, feeling my unworthiness, and I shall bow. More than bow, probably lay flat on our faces. And every knee shall do that. There is not one of us who will not bow. And yet we shall be made to stand. And this is why Paul says here, don't condemn your brother, because he is able to make the weak brother to stand, just as he's going to make you stand. This is why he says, we shall all stand, be stood up before the judgment seat of God, although it is written that we shall all bow and confess our sins to God, and then by grace be accepted and stood up. So if that is what's going to happen to you, do not judge your brother. Do not put down your brother. And you can put down your brother in all sorts of ways by putting guilt upon them. You should be ashamed of this, that, or the other. You've done this, you're that. And well, we're all sinners, but we haven't done what you've done. You know, this sort of thing fills the Christian experience in so many churches, and it is absolutely wrong. Because we have sinned, and we shall bow before God in the form of his Son. Not that Jesus is God, but that Jesus will judge on God's behalf. So, you and I are going to come to the day of judgment. There is no doubt about that. You can't opt out of it. You can't write a letter or an email and say, I resign, I'm out of here. No, we are responsible, and we therefore shall cumber, and we shall all bow down, and yet we shall be made to stand by his grace. Now, if that is what's going to happen, and that is what's going to happen to every single one of us, then don't put down your brother. Do not judge your brother now. Just keep in mind your own frailty and your own desperate need for his grace. Now, going back to Isaiah 45, what does it say? Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and in me shall they say, there is righteousness and strength. And all those incensed against him shall be ashamed. This is the day of judgment. In Yahweh shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. So there we are on our faces before Jesus at the day of judgment, recognizing our sinfulness. But then we are made to stand because we are justified. We are counted right, not let off, but actually counted right because we are in him. And then shall men say, verse 24 of Isaiah 45, then shall men say, there is righteousness and strength only in Yahweh. Because in Yahweh shall all the seed of Israel be justified, be counted right. This is exactly the argument of Paul in Romans, that we who are sinners and stand in the dock condemned are changed by our status. Because we're in Christ, we are counted as righteous, we are justified, we are counted right. Because we are in him, because in him we have righteousness and strength. Now, if this is going to happen, well, if that's the end result for you and me, do not judge your brother. Don't put down your brother because God is able to make him stand, just as he is able to make you stand. But these words are also quoted in Philippians chapter 2, which is a kind of a hymn about the sevenfold humiliation of Jesus, coming to a peak when he becomes obedient to death, even the death of the cross, and then his sevenfold exaltation. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, we don't have to wait till judgment day to get on your knees. You do it now. When you think about the crucified and exalted Jesus, that is what brings you down to your knees. You have there a foretaste of judgment. This is why when we're told to examine ourselves at the breaking of bread in 1 Corinthians 11, this is absolutely appropriate, because there you have a foretaste of judgment. If you can reconstruct in your own mind the crucifixion of Jesus and you before him, and his eye catching your eye, then you will fall to your knees. You will recognize that I have sinned, and you see the height of his exaltation. Absolutely, quite rightly. And who am I? Quite rightly, you are humbled and brought down, just as you will be at the day of judgment. So coming before the crucified Jesus is a kind of foretaste of coming before him at the last day. It's the same Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. And so, again, the same outcome should be there, that we will vow never to condemn, never to put down our brother, because he also shall be made to stand by grace alone, just as you and I will be. So it is the cross of Jesus and our engagement with that on a personal level, which leads us, I think, to that humility, to that conviction of sin. It's very good to break bread together in church, but I suggest that at times you do it on your own. I know it takes a bit of effort to find some bread and grape juice or wine or whatever, and it just takes a bit of time to find that time to do it, but I urge you to do it. And just read the record of the crucifixion. Don't listen to a sermon. Don't listen to me explaining it all. Just do it on your own and try to visualize him there catching your eye, and you will be convicted of his greatness, of your sinfulness, and bow your knee as you give thanks for the bread and wine and you shall be made to stand. I will be, and so will our weak brother be, whose weakness is so irritatingly apparent to us and in our face. But just as you and I are going to be made to stand, so our brother also will be.